The word today is Emmanuel. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Jesus is such an amazing person. One of the things which sets him apart from ordinary people is the large number of names or titles given to him. There is one name of Jesus which should bring comfort to all of us. Here to teach about the name he particularly enjoys is Bible scholar Douglas Schrader. On The Word Today, Emmanuel.
One of the names for Jesus in the Bible is Emmanuel. It means God with us. And we see this name for Jesus used in the Gospel of Matthew, that is, an account of Jesus' life, a biography written by the man Matthew. And in the very first chapter, starting at verse 18, I'd like to read for you the context in which this name for Jesus, Emmanuel, is used. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded with him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So we see here that one of the names for Jesus is Emmanuel. The beautiful thing about the name Emmanuel means that God has come close to humanity. He has come into a world that is full of troubles and hardship, full of distress and need. And instead of being aloof and distancing himself from a sin-filled world and from a hurting world, he has determined he will come in and offer assistance and salvation. In fact, that's what the whole incarnation of Jesus is about. The fact that God came down and took on human flesh, that he determined that he would walk among us and be a part of us. In fact, that's what John 1 talks about. There's another gospel, another account of Jesus' life in the book of John. And in the first chapter there, it says that Jesus tented. The word in the Greek means he pitched a tent for a while. The divine essence of God came down in the flesh and took on an earthly tent, an earthly body, and dwelled among us for a period of time. And so both of these descriptions are very beautiful and very profound, discussing the fact that Jesus would come here and God would draw close to humanity. And I always make the point when I'm discussing the incarnation of Jesus, that is the divine taking on the human flesh, that applies to Jesus, I always make the distinction that the Bible teaches the incarnation of Jesus, God becoming man to save us. The Bible does not teach reincarnation, that is, people going through multiple lives, getting body after body as their spirit bounces along over time. That is not taught in the scriptures. It has no place in Christianity. And in fact, it's a completely opposite concept of Christianity. The Bible very clearly teaches that reincarnation of humans is an impossibility. There is one God, the Creator. He has created all beings. All people will stand before him at the judgment. Jesus Christ came to save us from the sins we had committed, from the ills we have. That's why he was incarnate. There is no need to believe in reincarnation. Frankly, I think reincarnation is a very flimsy concept and very weak. I believe there is a God who made this world, who designed it. You look around and you see the evidence of the designer, the creator in this universe, and therefore we will give account to him on how we live our lives. Now, this God, though he is a judge, is also going to be very loving and compassionate, like a doctor making a call on a sick person, on an ill person. And really, that's what we are in sin. We're really infested with a disease, and it causes us to lust and to hate and to have pride and all. It's like a viral thing that destroys us. And in the end, it takes us down and kills us. That's why God had to send his rescue team in the form of his son Jesus. Just recently, there was a group of climbers on Mount Hood, which was in the western part of the United States. And I believe it was in December that this smaller group of climbers got trapped on the mountain by fierce storms. And though everyone at the base of the mountain wanted to go up and wanted to help them, they were helpless because of the ferocity of the storm. They just could not get through. What a horrible thing it would be for humanity if there was no redemption, if there was no way to save us from this sinfulness and this disease called sin. If God were not able to save us, we would be lost. We'd be hopeless. And yet that's the beauty of the gospel, is that God is with us. And in fact, one of the important things about Jesus, his own name means God saves. So the idea that God has come near to us with one specific purpose, and that is to redeem us in order to save us as people. You know, it's interesting that some people like agnostics and atheists might ask the question, are we alone? Is there anyone else in the universe? And I find this so incredible that they would dismiss this fantastic testimony about God breaking through time, breaking into humanity, very, very vividly showing us, no, we're not alone. There is a divine being, and he cares about humanity, and he has visited us. So all this talk nowadays about, is there life in outer space? Is there extraterrestrial intelligence? My answer is absolutely. It's called God the Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit, the Almighty, the Divine. And he's come to visit us and bring us his truth. From God's perspective, if you look at this, it's God's desire to save his people. He has this passion for the creatures he has created, and he doesn't like seeing the good stuff he's made get destroyed because of sin. So he determined he was going to come down here on earth, and he was going to save us from our sins. It's an incredible thought that Jesus came to save his people. In fact, that's what we are told. His name is Emmanuel, and his name is Jesus. In verse 21 in Matthew 1, it says, his name is Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that an amazing thought? What other human have you ever heard of that's been assigned the task of saving humanity? What other person in history could lay claim to the boast of being able to redeem all of mankind? No one. No one except Jesus. And the point is, Jesus came to save his creatures, his people globally. Jesus was not some local prophet. He wasn't sent only to some race of people or only one little corner of the globe. Jesus is the world savior. Jesus was sent to save all of mankind. And so he is good for you as your savior, whether you are living in the Middle East, whether you are living in the islands, whether you are living in Europe or North America or Africa, India, Asia, wherever you are. Christ is your Savior. And this beautiful thought about God being with us, well, that has to be personalized. You need to realize that, yes, Christ came for us, but like having that sickness, like having that illness, you don't get the benefit until you receive the immunization or until you receive the treatment. And so also you need to receive Jesus personally. It's not good enough just to say, oh, yeah, there was this guy Jesus. He was a good teacher, a great human, and he taught humanity many wonderful things. That is not saving faith. Don't think that that is good enough to get you into heaven. You need to hold claim to Jesus as your Lord, and you need to turn your mind and your heart over to him and live for him. That's what the gospel calls for. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved, the scriptures teach. So this God with us is not just this idea that, oh, great, God's on my team now, so I can just plan my life and do as I wish, and God's there just to make it go better for me. That's not the thought at all. Instead, the call of the gospel is that now that you've found out that the Lord Jesus was sent, now you give your life to him. Now you live your life for him. In fact, God calls us to connect with Jesus in order to cling to him, almost like we're in a raging sea, and the water is swirling around us, trying to drown us, and Christ is thrown to us as this life preserver. Well, you know what? If you were drowning, you would hold on for dear life. And that's what I'd like for you to do when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your means of salvation. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus was sent to us, not just to heal us, not just to be with us in this life for this short period of time, but he has been sent to us so that we'll have the joy of living with him in God's presence in eternity. In Romans chapter 8, the beautiful statement is made, if God is for us, who can be against us? And then it lists all these possible opponents. And the bottom line answer is no one. No one can stand against us. When God is with us, he has defeated all of our enemies, illness, sickness of all kinds. The death itself is done away with because of Christ. In fact, with Christ, you are victorious over all enemies. So what a comforting thing to know that Christ had come to us. He was incarnate. He is Emmanuel, God made flesh, and he drew near to us in order to redeem us from all our sins.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.